worked with Brother Gabe this afternoon, and he said he's preaching from Isaiah 26 tonight, first four verses. "I will keep him in perfect peace." He said, "I know what hymn you'll be singing." I picked that hymn before I spoke with him. Exodus chapter 2. Don't you just marvel at God's word? I never cease to be amazed at it. And the word speaks of so clearly of Christ, the word made flesh. Nothing speaks more clearly than this chapter. Every chapter we look at, we think, this is so clearly the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this will be a blessing just looking at the type, but I hope that we can see something of ourselves like being like these children cast into the river. Think about that. Just try to enter into that. Drowned him. Dead. Weeping and wailing. Rachel weeping, Rachel. And so you know what God did? Sent a son. Put him in the river. That's how we're getting out. That's how we're not going to drown. That's how we're not going to stay dead. I just told you the end of this message. He's called drawn out. Hebrews were in Egypt. This old story begins with a man and his wife in Egypt. They have a child. She conceives and has a child in Egypt. Well, our Lord, the gospel begins with a man and a woman. The woman having a child, virgin, shall conceive and bear a son. Call his name Wonderful Counselor. And because of fear, the fear of Herod, they fled to Egypt. The Lord told them to. Why? Because he said, "I've called my son out of Egypt," Hosea 11. So this man and his wife, they're in Egypt. All the sons of Jacob are there. All of them are there. We looked at that last time we were together. This is such a picture of Christ. Now look at verse 1. "There's a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi." This man was a priest. His wife was the same tribe, Levi, you know. So this man was a priest. John the Baptist was his father was a priest. Levitical priests. Well, you say Joseph and Mary, they weren't of the house of Levi. I know. They were house of Judah. Why is that? Because Christ is a different kind of priest. After the order of Melchizedek. An eternal priest. The Levitical priesthood is over. But our priest ever lives. He's in the Holy of Holies right now. He is the mercy seat. And that's another message. But this woman conceives and bears a son. Well, Israel's deliverance began with a son being born, and so did ours. Mm-hmm. So did ours. His name's drawn out. Verse 2, this woman conceived and bare a son. She saw him. He was a goodly child. Goodly child. Hebrews 11 says that very thing, doesn't it? She saw he was a proper child. So she hid him 3 months, a goodly child. Amram and Jochebed are his parents' name. Amram means high people. Jochebed means Jehovah saved. So they had a child, a boy, a man child, and she saw that he was special. And I know every mother thinks that. Others think that about their son, you know. A father thinks that about their daughter. But Moses was, wasn't he? Why? Because he represents someone who really is special. A proper child. One born of a virgin, the Son of God who came. Truly the only goodly child ever born, wasn't it? Truly. I love to think about Mary and Joseph observing him as a child. He's perfect. And your mothers, when you were had a child, they would ask you, say, she's such a good baby. She's a sinner. Your child's a sinner. And they're going to start showing it real quick, but not this one. Think about that. Mary could have said, he never cries. He never lifts up his voice. I know he's hungry. And she said, his countenance, his cheeks are always ruddy. And you look into his eyes, it's like looking in a dove's eyes by the rivers of water. That's a fitly set. Oh, this child, Mary said, he's a goodly child. He is the Lord Jesus Christ, even as a child, a young man, young boy, 12 years old. So this man, this woman saw that the child was a goodly child, and they hid this child for 3 months. The child was hidden. Our Lord Jesus Christ stayed hidden for 3 decades, 30 years, didn't he? What was he doing? He's like David. Remember, David was the king. David wasn't crowned king until he was 30 years old. What was David doing? Keeping the sheep. Going about doing good. So was our Lord, though hidden to the eye of man, not to God, and not to a few, like his mother who observed him in all things. The child that was hidden has to be put in the river. Put in the river that other children might live. The sons of Jacob. Verse 3, she could no longer hide him. Our Lord Jesus Christ was hidden for 30 years, but you can't hide the sun very long. He's going to shine. He's going to come forth. And she took for him an ark of bulrushes. That's reeds. She took an ark. An ark is a vessel. A vessel to contain something. Oh, the vessel that our Lord Jesus Christ took, and what was in that earthen vessel, the Son of the Most High God. She took for him an ark of bulrushes. That's reeds. This particular reed is papyrus. We get the word paper. This reed was used for making paper to write things upon. Are you with me? That he's in this ark made of paper for writing. It's like he's a book. The word. I understand too that some lightweight vessels, chips, were made out of this bulrushes. That fits. She took this ark and daubed it with slime and with pitch. What is slime? Slime is just the filth of this earth, the filth of the river. Slime. You've been in a pond or by the river. It's just it's awful. It's nasty. And she daubed this with slime. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ was cast into this world, this filth of world. You know what this world must have been like to our Lord as soon as he came into it? Vile. He knew everybody's thoughts. It's vile to us. Imagine, try to imagine what it was like to him. And then she covered this ark that the child was in, the son was in, with pitch. Pitch. That's the tar of a tree, a wounded tree, an evergreen. Tar and sap. And covered this ark with our Lord. Our Lord is the ark of the covenant. Our Lord is the ark of Noah. Our Lord is the mercy seat. upon which the blood was poured. Our Lord made propitiation. Propitiation. Our Lord made atonement. Atonement by his blood. Our Lord was literally covered in his own blood. And so are we. His blood. Covered. Pit. Our Savior. Our Redeemer. And then she put him in the river. She laid him in the flags down by the river. That's reeds also. Reed. She put this child in the river. Well, every son before this, you read with me, every son of Jacob was cast into the river. And so God, in his sovereign mercy and sovereign grace and sovereign purpose, all-wise purpose, had this son to be born. And how is he going to keep, how is he going to save the rest of the sons of Jacob? By putting this son in the river. Our Lord was put into this world, this river called the earth, slime, a dung heap. How does he get us off the dung heap? He gets in it. That's how. And so like those sons of Jacob, in Adam all die. Every one of those sons of Jacob died, drowned in the river. They died. But in Christ, all made alive. There's no record of any more children being dying after this son was born. Now, you, like I said Sunday, you want to tell me that babies don't go to be in glory with the Lord? All these children cast into that river. My, my. See if I can find it. I didn't write it down. Jeremiah. Go to Jeremiah. Maybe 46. Maybe 46. No, 30, 31. Let's see if I can find it. Didn't write it down. It talks about Rachel weeping for her children. Somebody, if you know where you're telling.
15.
What? 15? Oh, I was in Isaiah. Jeremiah 15.
31.
That it? 31:15. That's it. I wonder I couldn't find Isaiah 31. Okay, here it is. Verse 15. A voice was heard in Ramah. Lamentation, bitter weeping. Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. Well, thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping, thine eyes from tears. Thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord. They shall come again. Who? These children. From the land of the enemy. There's hope in thine end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again. Their own border. You know where they're coming again to, from? From glory to meet with the Lord, to meet us in the air. Full grown children. I take strong issue with anybody who says otherwise. Thy work shall be rewarded. There's children cast into that river. Our Lord cast his son into that river to bring us out. So, all right, now go back to the text. His sister, Miriam, is 13 years old or so. It says she stood afar off and watched this. Watched her brother. Watched the son. To wit, wondering, what is going to happen? What will happen to him? You think she's worried? Oh. You think Jochebed, Amram and Jochebed are worried? Oh, my. You know what you mothers need to do? Cast your children upon the Lord. Take them to the Lord and leave them there. Cast your burden upon the Lord. Cast your children upon the mercy of the Lord. Like Job said, they may not be praying for themselves, I'm praying for them. That's what you need to do. cast yourself, cast all your cares upon the Lord. But Miriam was Moses' older sister. She was his blood kin, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. And she stood at this time afar off, not knowing, she was wondering what's going to happen. What's going to happen to the son? Do you know that the daughters of Abraham, when our Lord was crucified, listen to this. And Luke 23, it says that, if I can find it. Yeah, I'm not doing too good with my references tonight. There it is. When our Lord was crucified, it reads, all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things, wondering what's going to happen to him. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You wait. You're going to see what's going to happen to him. He's got to live. Moses has got to live, doesn't he? That child, that son's got to live, doesn't he? If he doesn't live, Israel won't be saved. To wit, wondering. So she's afar off. And I thought of this, Ephesians 2. He said, you who were one time afar off are brought nigh. Miriam's going to come close. She's going to see for herself. The son lives. Oh, my. So look at this, verse 5. The daughter of the king, Pharaoh, just so happened to be passing by. The daughter of the king came down. Here's the first thing I thought of. She came down, it said, came down to wash with her maidens. Now go to Psalm 45 with me. Psalm 45. I'll not have you turn too many places, but this is so good. Psalm 45. You know, when you come to Christ, you're going to have to come down, aren't you? Everybody comes to Christ must come down. When you see him crucified, when you see him cast into the river, when you see him made sin for you who knew no sin, when you see him daubed with his own blood, yeah, it'll bring you down, won't it? All pride. Bringing down Pharaoh's daughter. Not many wise men, not many noble called. Here's one. God's so merciful, isn't it? Tender mercies over all the world. Pharaoh's daughter. Every kindred. There were Herodians that believed Christ. Have you read that? It's many Herodians of the family of Herod believed Christ. You see how that salvation really is of the Lord? How that he and he alone can break down the enmity? And yet he's so merciful out of every kindred. Pharaoh was a cruel tyrant, cruel to God's people, yet God saved his. I believe this woman was saved. Many of you have probably watched that movie, The Ten Commandments. It's probably the best movie ever made. Most scriptural movie ever made, and that stands to reason because it was made 70 years ago. But it depicts Moses, that Egyptian mother, is going with them out of Egypt. I can see that. She loved Moses. He was her son. She's not going to leave him. The Lord, if you ever fall in love with Christ, he's not going to leave you, and you're not going to leave him. And he's going to bring you out. But Pharaoh's daughter, she's an Egyptian. She's an enemy of God's people. And you, one time, were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. With her maidens. So the king's daughter came down to the river with her maidens. Look at Psalm 45, verse 9. King's daughters were among thy honorable women. On thy right hand did stand the queen and gold of Ophir. Hearken, O daughter, consider, incline thine ear. Forsake thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty. He is thy Lord. Worship thou him. Verse 13, the king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. And the virgins, the maidens, her companions, are with her. See how everything is written as a prophecy of our Lord Jesus Christ. So she came down, this woman who was somebody. She was great. She was rich. She was well known. It's fame and fortune. Yet she came down to wash. To wash in the river. All must. You come to Christ, you come down. When you come to Christ, you come to wash, don't you? Wash. You come to him to have him wash you from your sins in his own blood. There is a fountain filled with blood. That's the only one. Drawn from Emmanuel's vein. And sinners that plunge beneath that blood lose all their guilty stains. And I have to believe this is representative of baptism. Baptism. This woman is going to own the Son. She's going to confess the Son before the King. This Son, I want him. He's mine. And the king's going to give him to him. Do you know who Solomon's first wife was, the son of David? You know who his first wife was? Pharaoh's daughter. Did you hear that? Maybe you didn't hear that the first time. Pharaoh's daughter came down. Solomon's wife, the son of David's wife, Pharaoh's daughter, Shulamite. The ark down in the river, she sees this ark in chapter, verse 5. She sees this ark. She's walking along by the riverside. Oh, the sovereign, amazing mercy and grace and providence of our God. It was her hap to this day come down to this exact part of this river where the Son, the Savior, was to be found. Like Ruth of old, her hap was to light on the field that belonged to her kinsman Redeemer. And this woman came down, her hap was to walk on the part of the river where the Son and the ark was. And she saw it. She saw it. And she said in verse 5, and she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. Go get that ark. Fetch that. Oh, so sovereign love and fetching grace of our Lord that fetched us like old Mephibosheth. And you know, when he fetches us, like old Philip, the Lord found Philip, remember? He found Philip. Philip wasn't looking for him. But he found Philip. You know what Philip went and did? He went and found Andrew. He said, we found him. He fetched Andrew. He said, we found him. The Lord fetches us, and we lay hold of him. We lay hold of him. And she laid hold of this ark and brought it to her. And she opened it. There's a child in it. A child. What was in that ark? The Son. The Son cast into the river by his father, mother. What was in the ark of the covenant? The Word. Christ. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. And it says in verse 5 that in verse 6, behold, the babe wept. I don't think this child wept up until this time. It had to be hidden. Somebody else may have found it and said, no, this you're supposed to kill these children. You know, Moses, just like our Lord, was pursued from a child like this. And how many children died in Jerusalem, in Bethlehem, when our Lord was born, for his sake? But the babe wept at this time. The Son wept. How long did that child stay in this ark? It doesn't say, does it? How much time went on between verse 4 and verse 5? It doesn't say that. Huh? Could have been 3 days and three nights. Could have been. Kind of believe it was. Imagine that poor child. If that were your child, think about it. Imagine the dark in the darkness. Alone. Miserable. Uncomfortable. Suffering. That's exactly what our Lord did. We can't even imagine. We can't enter into what our Lord went through on Calvary's tree. Alone. In darkness. The sun did not shine when Christ was hanging on that tree. And then he was left alone with them. He's the ark of the covenant. Inside the Holy of Holies. Now she opened the ark. And in that ark was a child. Behold, that babe wept. Our Lord Jesus Christ, as a man, he wept, didn't he? He wept. So the woman, it says in verse 6, she had compassion on him. She had compassion on him. She said, this is one of the Hebrews. This is one of the Hebrews' children. She had compassion on him. Our God, when he gives you a sight of his son, this, as I said, this proud woman, this rich woman, this woman who was known all over, yet when she saw this son in this ark, it broke her heart. This son broke her heart. When she saw the son, her heart was broken. An enemy of God sees the son. And it breaks the heart. And fills with love and compassion and gratitude and lays hold of the Son. Lays hold of eternal life. And she said, what a prophecy this is. This is one of the Hebrews. Our Lord became us. One of us. We have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity. He took not on himself the nature of angels, but the seed of Abraham, didn't he? Flesh and blood, like us. He's one of us. He put into this world and cast into the river of this world and the river of death, like we will. We're coming out. He came out. Well, look at God's, look at verse 7. Then said his sister, well, Miriam was watching afar off. Now, she comes nigh. She comes nigh. See, he was afar off, came nigh. And this is the king's daughter. But John, she comes boldly. Right up to the woman next to the throne to find help. A time of need. Now, she says to the Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women so she may nurse the child for thee? Now, every type is not perfect. No type is perfect. That's why there's so many. Okay? No, we don't need, the Lord needs to nurse us, not vice versa. Our Lord never asked for anything when he was on the earth. Didn't ask for water. Didn't ask for bread. Well, one time, after he arose, did he have any meat? Before he arose, he knew they didn't have any meat. And he was showing them how you can't provide anything. I have to provide it for you. And after he arose, he said, do you have any meat? And he said, right here. And he ate it to prove that he's alive. But he said in Psalm 50, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. Cattle on 1,000 hills of mine. Didn't need money, all the gold and the silver is here. So this type is not perfect, is it? But she asked Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go call a nurse that she may nurse the child? Now, Jeremiah 31. I had it written down right there. God's sovereign, amazing providence and salvation. A little before this, everybody in the sons of Jacob in Egypt are in great sorrow, in darkness, in trouble. And now there's hope. There's hope because the sun in the ark was cast in the river. And they come to find the sun that was cast in the river. And they open it. He's alive. That's Christ crucified, buried. 3 days later, he's alive. And because he lives, we shall live also. And this is truly marvelous, though, isn't it? It's all a picture of Christ. That's why it happened exactly the way it did. But it's also a picture of God's amazing sovereign providence. Truly, all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to his purpose. Amram and Jochebed thought that they didn't know what was going to happen to their child, but they cast their child on the mercy of the Lord in the river and wondered what was going to happen to him. Well, if you cast yourself on the mercy of the Lord, if you trust, none of them that trust in him shall be destined. There's no man, our Lord said, has given father, mother, or left father, mother, homes, lands, children for my sake, that he won't be rewarded, repaid 100-fold with life eternal. So this poor mother and her husband, they cast this babe into the river, and here comes Pharaoh's daughter, the enemy of God, who's killing all the sons of Jacob. And this woman finds this Hebrew child, and she knows it's a Hebrew child, and she said, we're not going to kill this one. We're going to keep this one. This one's going to live. I love this one. And she takes this child to Pharaoh and asks him, can I keep this child? It's a Hebrew child. Somebody put it in the river. And you know what Pharaoh thought. Oh, what's one child? What's one little baby? What can this little child do against me? Sure, keep the babe. He says, in fact, I'll give you plenty of servants to help you raise him. But Miriam asked, can I find a nurse? And Pharaoh's daughter, and God in great mercy said, Pharaoh's daughter said, go find me someone. So Miriam went and found Moses' mother and brought her back. She thought she had lost her son. She got him again. What's the scripture say? Cast your bread upon the waters. You see it again after many days. Christ, the bread of life. Oh, what a picture this is of how our Lord gives us favor in the sight of the Egyptian. Quite often, doesn't it? The Egyptians are enemies. The world are enemies. They're enemies of God and God's people. But sometimes, often, quite often, like when the children of Israel were leaving Egypt, it says they gave all their jewelry to them. They're not going to see that again. Here, take this. Why? Well, they needed, children of Israel were going to need some. And so the Egyptians did that. How marvelous is our Lord's sovereign providence in giving us favor in the sight of the Egyptian. But mostly this is such a picture of God's sovereignty over all. A king's heart is in the hands of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. The lot is cast in the lap, but the whole disposing there is of the Lord. Pharaoh, the most powerful man on the earth, enemy of God's people, raises up the deliverer. Satan, he's not doing what he will. He's doing what God will let him do. And everything Satan does, fulfilling God's will, and is good for God's people. You know that? I remember reading when I was just a boy, young boy, a young believer, how that this old preacher said, Satan, you know, is always assaulting God's people with his hammer, with his blow. He said, but with every blow that Satan strikes against God's people, he sweats at the task of conforming them to the image of Christ. In other words, he strikes at them and says, oh, I didn't mean that to happen. Here. Oh, that's not what I intended. That's a marvelous statement. And surely, as Pharaoh watched his son grow in his house, surely he that sits in the heavens was laughing. And the child grew. Scripture says that our Lord grew in wisdom, stature, favor, but God and men did. He grew. That's amazing to me, how Christ, who is wisdom, could grow in wisdom. How that, though he's a son, yet he had to learn obedience. Explain that. I can't. Our Lord grew up in this world as a child. My, my, my. She brought him into Pharaoh's daughter, and Miriam, and turned that boy over like Hannah did Samuel. Remember that? He became her son. And Pharaoh's daughter named him Moses. Again, the lot is cast in the lap, whole disposings of the Lord. She named him Drawn Out. Drawn Out. And our Lord, because he was crucified, buried, and drawn out, he's going to draw us out in him. Of this river, this world called sin and death. He's our Savior, like Moses. Okay, stand with me.